Good morning, everyone. Wonderful to be here. If you will please pray with me, O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Beloved
Jesus Christ,
Blessed
Master,
dearest Mother,
Saints and sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. And some chants, please. Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay 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 Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Om Shri Ram Jay Ram Jay Jay Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram open wide I keep for thee. Door of my heart, open wide I keep for thee. Wilt thou come, wilt thou come, just for once come to me. Wilt thou come, wilt thou come, just for once come to me. Will my days fly away without seeing thee, my Lord? Will my days fly away without seeing thee, my Lord? Night and day, night and day, I look for thee night and day. Night and day, night and day, I look for thee night and day. Door of my heart, open wide I keep for thee. Door of my heart, open wide I keep for thee. Wilt thou come, wilt thou come, just for once come to me. Wilt thou come, wilt thou come, just for once come to me. Will my days fly away without seeing thee, my Lord? Will my days fly away without seeing thee, my Lord? Night and day, night and day, I look for thee night and day. Night and day, night and day, I look for thee night and day. Door of my heart.
Reading from the Vision magazine, Love is Beauty, by Swami Ramdas. When you have discovered the beauty of the divine within you, your entire life becomes beautiful. Beauty expresses itself through your mind, your senses, and your body. Beauty and love go together. They are the supreme attributes of the divine. The instant you behold the divine in all things, great or small, in all things and in all beings and creatures of the earth, love light shines in your eyes. Your words pour like gentle drops of rain. Your acts convey a soothing and healing influence. Verily, whatsoever is thought, said, and done bears the true stamp of beauty. How can you attain the blessings of the supreme love? There is only one condition. You have to mingle your ego with the dust of the feet of your eternal beloved. It is now that your life undergoes a magnificent change. You seem to have passed gloom and darkness and entered into the realm of joy and radiance. In a flash, as it were, the beloved and yourself are realized to be one in essence and substance. In this grand union, as that of the river with the ocean, your life achieves an all-around perfection. You should not forget love is your goal. This state does not signify either renunciation or attachment. It is neither giving nor receiving. It is simply living in and with love. In fact, in this state, love and life are not different. In this mystic union, you experience an ecstasy which is incomparable. It may be called love madness. Those who are inebriated with love appear to behave strangely, but they are like the stars shining in the dark night. They are white flowers in the desert of the world, which has not known the beauty of real life of love. They are the beacons that illumine the hearts of those who grope in the darkness and that open their eyes to the glory of love. What a grand ideal to cherish! What a life of inexpressible felicity, purity, freedom, and peace. To be surrounded with light always, to lose yourself in that light, is indeed a wonderful experience. Before this highest ideal, what other ambition can stand? Like a life is drab, tasteless, and futile, if its aim is other than the realization of this beatific state. Those of you who agree with Ram Dass in what he has said above will surely lift up your hearts and minds and look to the Supreme Beloved with a longing so intense that the great giver may show the fullness of his grace and transform you into his image. Beauty, love, and joy be ever yours. I was given a book recently by John O'Donohue, Towards a Reverence of Approach, this is entitled, and a quote from Dante, "Seeing that as I went, I left my beatitude behind me." When beauty touches our lives, the moment becomes luminous. These grace moments are gifts that surprise us. When we look beyond the moment to our life journey, perhaps we can choose a new rhythm of journeying, which would be more conscious of beauty and more open to inviting her to disclose herself to us in all situations we travel through. Yet what you encounter, recognize or discover, depends to a large degree on the quality of your approach. Many an encounter of depth and spirit was preceded by careful preparation and often involved a carefully phased journey of approach. Attention, respect, and worthiness belong to the event of nearing and disclosure. In China, they tell the story of subjects from Mongolia who traveled vast distances to see the emperor. In Beijing, they had to practice for months the decorum appropriate to that moment of encounter. When the emperor finally passed, they could not even look up. The whole journey was rewarded with the mere glimpse of the emperor's feet. In the New Testament, a woman who had bled for years healed instantly when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Our culture has little respect for privacy. We no longer recognize the sacred zone around each person. We feel we have a right to blunder unannounced into any area we wish. Because we have lost reverence of approach, we should not be too surprised at the lack of quality and beauty in our experience. At the heart of things is a secret law of balance. And when our approach is respectful, sensitive, and worthy, gifts of healing, challenge, and creativity open to us. A gracious approach is the key that unlocks the treasure of encounter. The way we are present to each other is frequently superficial. We become more interested in, quote, connection rather than communion. In many areas of our lives, the rich potential of friendship and love remains out of our reach because we push towards connection. When we deaden our own depths, we cannot strike a resonance in those we meet or in the work we do. And listen to this, a reverence of approach awakens depth and enables us to be truly present where we are. When we approach with reverence, great things decide to approach us. Isn't that wonderful? When we approach with reverence, great things decide to approach us. Our real life comes to the surface, and its light awakens the concealed beauty in things. When we walk on the earth with reverence, beauty will decide to trust us. The rushed heart and the arrogant mind lack the gentleness and patience to enter that embrace. Beauty is mysterious, a slow presence who awaits for the ready, expectant heart. When the heart becomes attuned to her restrained glimmerings, it learns to recognize her intimations more frequently in places it would never have lingered before. I think that's beautiful and very true. This Sunday we mark the day of what is called Palm Sunday. And in the tradition of Christianity, Palm Sunday is that day in which Jesus comes into Jerusalem in a grand kind of parade in which all are calling and gathering unto him. From Luke 19:19-44, we read, "And it came to pass when he came nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the moment called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereupon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do I loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said. And they were loosed the colt. The owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now in the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at last in this last day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall be cast a trench around thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." And Master's commentary, spiritually interpreted as relevant to man in every age, Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem inspires a beautiful symbology. Man's consciousness is that city of Jerusalem. His thoughts and feelings are its inhabitants. Listen to that. Man's consciousness is the city of Jerusalem. His thoughts and feelings are the inhabitants. You see, it's all symbolic. Jesus coming into Jerusalem evokes the opening of the gates of man's devotion to receive the entrance of Christ consciousness in its omniscient power, in its bodily kingdom, with all of its citizens rejoicing, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The literal event, this striking day in Jesus' life, speaks once again of his cosmic Christ consciousness, in which nothing was outside his perception and command. With a few simple words, he directed two of his disciples to an exact distant location where they would find a yet unridden colt, and further empowered his messengers to procure the owner's permission to take the beast by offering nothing more than the ambiguous explanation, because the Lord hath need of him. In every exigency of his life, Jesus proved that he had no need for the persuasion of gold. He ever found ready to his hand all material accessories to his plans. The drama of this day in Jerusalem, as the disciples later came to realize, was centered in the literal fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt a foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse of from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth." We are the great beneficiaries of those who have gone on before us. Sri Yukteswar carried on the tradition of Larhi Mahasya, who interpreted the scriptures not in a literal kind of sense, but as the symbology of what every man goes through in his ascent from the human to the divine. Sri Yukteswar, reading the Christian scriptures, saw there the same kind of principle that he saw within the Eastern scriptures as had been interpreted by his master. Yogananda carried on that tradition, and so did Mother Hamilton. Each one of them getting somewhat new and fresh inspiration from these teachings that have been handed down for thousands of years. For thousands of years, much of Christianity has focused on the literal aspects of these teachings. And it is time and past time that the world awakened that these teachings are not those their most powerful when seen from the light of actual historical events. But when you see your own journey right within these pages being written out. Now, Mother discovered through revelation that the Christ seed is formed right within our own bodies, that through the glandular secretions there comes to be this Christ seed that then goes on a journey. It comes down the ganglionic nervous system and is deposited in behind the stomach. And then it goes to the base of the spine. The base of the spine is Egypt. And then it begins to move through the circuit. The circuit is up through the spine. And the baptism happens there within the spine. This is where fresh living waters of spirit flow into your spinal system. Now you are taken in an increased rate upon this journey. The Christ seed is now rising up through the spine. He is gathering to him his disciples. Now the disciples are 12 in number, and each one represents an aspect within the spine. There are 6 major centers within the spine, and each one has a polarity or a duality to it. And as the Christ seed rises up through the spine, it encounters or gathers up to itself these 12 disciples. Now, they don't all come evenly or smoothly. Some are heavily in doubt. Some have negative attributes to them. There is Thomas the doubter. There is Peter, who is very passionate, but he is also skeptical in the beginning, but then becomes the very root of truth and deep abiding faith. And this is the way that it oftentimes is. Those of us who are most skeptical, those of us who have the greatest time in believing, but we are sincere, we're driven towards this spiritual journey, we are the ones who are then able to comprehend truth in its greatest reality. Because doubt, if it becomes habitual, becomes a negative, because we just simply don't seek the truth. We become like Pontius Pilate was, what is truth? But he really wasn't asking the question. He had no expectancy of getting an answer. It was a throwaway question. But those who ask the question and go deeper within their souls really challenge the laboratory, within the laboratory of their own souls, this great proposition. You are made in the image and likeness of God. But who really knows it? Who has realized it? And the proposition is that you may realize it, and not in some distant time, not after you've died, not after you've left this body and gone on to some distant heaven, but rather all of this is happening right inside of you. And you have the capacity to realize this divine consciousness if you would but pursue it. So we have to be willing to lay aside all things. Now this Christ journey moves up through these different levels within the consciousness. And when it reaches the fourth chakra, or the heart chakra, we enter into what is called the mystical crucifixion. Now, we've had many great challenges and have even seen great miracles, great things happen within our being before that. But when we enter in at the fourth center, the heart center, we now, if we are to stand straight up with our feet together and our arms outstretched, we are in the form of a cross. And the cross represents the upward ascending spiritual force within the spine, meeting the horizontal or the worldly restrictions that are deeply in the mind of the devotee. These things have to be encountered and moved through and overcome in order for the journey of the Christ to be complete. So as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, which represents higher consciousness within the man, within every human being's body, then there is a great celebration. Now, when a ruler in ancient times was going to enter into a city, he would ride, if he was a warrior and coming in as a conquering warrior, he would ride in on a horse or a carriage drawn by horses. And this represented the power and the virility of outward expression. But if he were coming in peace and as an ambassador of peace, he would ride in on a donkey or on an ass. And so this is symbolically that Jesus is coming not as a worldly conqueror, but as a spiritually conqueror. Also, in ancient traditions, the palms were used as recognition for victory. And so if an athlete won within the Olympics of those early days, then he was given a wreath. If a king were entering into a city after a great victory, he would be given palms. And so this was an ancient symbol for a victory. But in a spiritual sense, it's not a victory of Jesus conquering the city, for instance, with an army, but of his self-mastery. He had victory on the spiritual battlefield. He had faced the temptations out in the desert of 40 days of fasting and meditation. He had gone through so much and had demonstrated the power of divine consciousness, its power to raise the dead, its power to heal the sick. Now you have the dead and the sick right within you, the lame. They are those aspects of yourselves that have died to divine consciousness. They are dead from a spiritual standpoint. They are lame because you try to walk towards the path of realization, but you are halting. You are faltering along the way. You're not clear in your mind yet. And so you go back and forth, and so those become the lame and the ill, those who have taken on a diseased state, spiritually speaking. They are filled with darkness, and instead of attuning yourself to the highest divine consciousness, you run away from it. You run away from the light. You run away from what you know is right and good for yourself. You feel drawn to the negative, and you really hesitate, putting both feet fully on the spiritual path. Now, everyone has to face this at some point in their life. But there, those who go the whole way have realized that this world truly has nothing of lasting happiness to offer it. And so when they come to that place of choice, they choose spirit, even though they may feel a draw for something that will take them away. And they consistently, constantly, day by day, moment by moment, choose the highest way, the way of light, the way of love, the way of beauty. This is the way that it has to be. And if we don't do it, it's just simply applying a law of mathematics. If we go against that inner spiritual divine law, we will be taken out of that inner kingdom. We will be taken away from the path. You might say it's nothing personal. It's just business. It's just mathematics. It's just the way things are constructed. You, me, everyone on this blessed earth. And so we have that choice. But in this case, what's being described on Palm Sunday is the upliftment, is the joyous uplifting aspect of having entered into divine communion with God. All of the citizenry within you is all calling out to the divine consciousness. You feel the bliss. You feel the upliftment. You feel the light. It's tremendous. It's a tremendous experience. And as Jesus said here, if you were to quiet all the citizens within this town, within the city of consciousness, the stones themselves would cry out. And indeed, when you have a listening, opening heart, you feel the divine consciousness singing out through every aspect of creation, even the stones, even the things that appear to the outer eye to be inert, is filled with divine vibration, filled with light, filled with love itself. This is the mystical vision that we can have, that we can live in. It's not just a place we need visit. It's a place where we can arrive at and become one with that. And so as Jesus rides in on this colt of peace, never been ridden before, is in this virginal state. It means it's the purity of that feeling of upliftment and peace and joy. That becomes yours. It becomes yours, your experience. And when you have that experience, and you have it in the greatness that is being spoken of here, then you have really entered into this path of the heart. And you can be lifted up through that experience. Now, what happens after that? We all know what comes next, and that is the crucifixion. And that is where the ego surrenders itself completely and totally, is willing to do whatever is required in order to enter into and remain in that holy communion with the infinite consciousness. Now, what is God? We use the word God, we hear it used all around us. God is that infinite consciousness from which everything has evolved. It is bliss. It is light. It is purity of being. It is everything of good report. And it is all the positive forces and thoughts and uplifting qualities that are within you and even beyond you. This world itself, according to the Vedas, is an expression of Ananda. Now, in the East, the Trinity is Sat, Chit, Ananda. Sat is the pure state of being. This is said to be the name of God, Sat, Chit, Ananda. It's the pure state of being, beyond expression, beyond form, in the pure stillness of spirit. Then, when consciousness becomes aware of itself and it begins to express itself, it is then Chid, and that is conscious awareness. And now you're aware of your being, but you're also aware of the expression of being, and that is Ananda. That is all creation. And Ananda is bliss. Therefore, this world, this creation, everything that we see, is attuned to bliss. Now, we've lost that vision. And as in the writing that we read today, it's because we are not quiet enough. It's because we're not attuned enough to listen to the blissful nature of this world. We are assaulted day by day by all the news, by all the negativity, by all the things that convince us that we're restricted, tiny little beings walking upon this earth, helpless in nature. And we come to believe it. We come to believe it. We forget our divine nature. There's a wonderful story told in India of how a mother lion was in a very weakened state because she had not ate for a long time, and she was carrying a cub inside of her. And finally, she found some sheep, and she was just making a lunge for one of the sheep when she totally gave out. She just had nothing left to give. And she died in that moment. But just as she was making that lunge, she was giving birth to this new cub. So this new cub came out into the world, looked around, saw that its mother was dead, and looked around, saw the sheep. And the sheep decided to have compassion on this poor little cub, and so they nursed it, and they brought it right into one of their own fold. And this lion grew up thinking that it was a sheep. And it would bleat as a sheep, and it would run with the sheep. And if any lions came along to hunt the sheep, it would run right along with all the other sheep, running away, bleating, just like a sheep. Totally convinced that it was a sheep. Growing up this way now is a rather ridiculous sight when you saw it. And one day, one of the kings of jungle came along, hunting the sheep, and he was horrified to see this lion running with the other sheep and just bouncing and bleeding and so terrified, and he's disgusted by it. What is this? He thought. This great lion, this king of the jungle, and he's running away like this? And so he went and he gathered up this lion. He had to hunt him down and hold him down by the scruff of the neck, and he asked him, "What is the problem with you?" He says, "What do you mean? I'm a sheep." He said, "Oh, you're a lion." "No, no, 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 I'm a sheep. Please don't kill me." So he dragged the lion, sheep, over to the water. And he said, "Now look in your reflection. What do you see in there?" Oh, he was dazzled to see that he didn't see the reflection of a sheep. He saw the reflection of a lion. He was astounded. It took him a long time to think this over and to begin to integrate the fact that all this time he had lived his life as a sheep. But in truth, he was meant to be king of the jungle. He is meant to be a lion. And so this is what the spiritual master does for us. It shows us the reflection of our true self, our God self. It says, wake up from your delusion. You are living like a scared little sheep. And really, you should walk this earth as a spiritual master. Master of yourself. Master of your consciousness. That you can lift yourself up into the Jerusalem of consciousness. Now, what does Jesus say is going to happen? The Jerusalem is going to have a trench around it. It's going to be barred from being able to really recognize itself. It's going to be torn down stone by stone. And why? Because it's not able to recognize the light. And therefore, it's become perverted. It's become so drunk on delusion that it thinks that that's all that it is. And so this process of Jerusalem being rebuilt, the new Jerusalem within you, is the new divine consciousness that is created within you as you dedicate yourself toward this proposition. This Palm Sunday is the beginning of that process in this sense, that through this triumphal entry into Jerusalem and all the citizens raising up their voices and acknowledging within themselves that this is the Christ. This is the Christ, and the Christ exists right within you. The Christ is that perfect Son of God. It is a perfect reflection of divine consciousness that is right within your own being. And what you realize as this begins to awaken within you is that it has always been there. It has always been there. It's a beautiful meaning of the word Buddha. Buddha means the one who is awakened. And you begin to wake up. It's as if from a long, long dream, a nightmare in many ways, that you begin to wake up to what your real nature is. This is a fantastic roadmap, if you could but see it within these scriptures, about what every human being goes through as they awaken from the human into the divine. This is your story. And whether it's telling your story as you currently are, whether it's your telling your story as something that you've been through, or whether it's anticipating what you will experience, it is worthwhile to spend time meditating upon this story, thinking about this story. This story has Shakti power to awaken the divine consciousness within you, if you would but let it. But you must prepare yourself. Just even as those ones who came out from the hinterlands, coming into the inner precincts of the Chinese emperor and prepared themselves, they had to learn how to behave. They had to learn how to be correct in their behavior. Now, many times this comes down as particular laws, but we can really say they are principles. They are principles of living. We have to have a pure life. We have to eat those foods that are right for us. We have to nourish ourselves properly. We have to sleep properly. We have to earn our income through proper means. And then we have to guide our thoughts so that our thoughts don't take us astray, because thoughts are the creator. They create and are in charge of everything else. If you think of your moods and your emotions, you will see that before you have any emotion or any mood, it is always predated by a thought. A thought comes, and then your emotion follows the thought. Change the thought, and you will change the emotion. It's true. And so as you guard yourself this way, purify yourself this way, so that you are purifying yourself, body, mind, and soul. Now, part of us, the ego part, will think, what a dull life that is. I don't get to do what I want to do. I don't get to go out to parties. I don't get to mix with just anybody I want, all of this. And it's true. There are some things that you don't do. But it is so that you will experience something greater within your being. And whatever it is that you may have left behind in the dustbin of history of your own experience, you never miss it. You never miss it. But you know, if you live your life and you get all the way to the end, life is now over, and you look back over your life, your physical life, and what will you see with regret? One of the things is, if you made the choice not to go with light, not to go with spirit, you made the choice to go with the lesser things, you will not respect yourself, and you will certainly not think you made the right choices. Everything that we seek in this world, every pleasure, everything that we go after or think that will produce some pleasure for us is of an illusion, in the sense that it cannot promise us lasting peace, lasting pleasure, lasting bliss. Only divine consciousness can do that. And when we really get this, when we really realize that, then we turn our whole attention upon achieving that goal, the New Jerusalem, the shining city upon the hill, filled with light, filled with bliss, filled with joy. And I will guarantee you right now that when you get to that point and you experience that New Jerusalem, you will not look back and regret leaving behind anything that you know that does not represent that highest light. You will not regret it, not one bit. You will thank God. You will get down on your knees and thank God that He's taken you on this tremendous journey, and that divine consciousness is now awakened in you. You will experience that Palm Sunday, that great bliss, that great joy of the entering of that Christ seed into the New Jerusalem, or it will become the New Jerusalem. You may even find that you weep because you realize there's more to go through. But what's promised out for all of us is that you will experience that divine consciousness as long as you stay steady and true upon your greatest and highest calling, the realization of God within you. So discover that beauty. You know, Plato, is essential word for God was the beautiful. Beauty with a capital B. And he meant that love that Papa talked about. He meant that beauty that's indescribable. Beauty of spirit. Beauty of consciousness. And that beauty pervades your entire being. Even this moment, you just may not be aware of it, is all. Isn't that a beautiful, wonderful promise? It is the promise of all the great spiritual masters down through all time. And it is true for you. So as we sit together, I would just like you to focus on your heart center and feel there, as is pictured in many of the great scriptures, that it may unfold just as a beautiful flower, a beautiful lotus, unfolds within your own heart, within your own being. That you feel the sunlight of divine consciousness shining upon it. That you open yourself, and as you do, and you see those petals, feel those petals, hear those petals, subtly opening up, that you feel the beauty and the love flowing through your heart. That you let down all the old guards. This is between you and God. And it's completely and totally safe. That you let go of any old hurts. You let go of any old defenses. Defenses are just another word for the fences that you put around your heart. Let them go. Let down all the gates, all the guards, all the walls. And as you do so, you feel a gentle spirit flowing through you. There may even be a little pain with that, but you endure that pain because there's also beauty that is there. And you feel the light within your own being shining out. And as we let it shine out to all this earth, that this earth and all the people in it are in tremendous need of healing. Are in tremendous need of this beauty, of this love. And so you see yourself in spirit embracing this world, embracing it with love, embracing it with a tenderness of spirit that melts hatred and darkness and all things negative. And it's washed away in those living waters. God's Spirit is greater than any negativity, greater than any darkness that exists anywhere. And so you let that unlimited light and love flow through you. And you see it carrying away all the debris of all difficulties and pain and negativity. Swept away in that river. And you feel peace spreading out. All creation is now in resonance with the heart of your own being, and you are unafraid. Unafraid. You'll please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in
and surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection
surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Take a moment to acknowledge both John and Diane for all their service down through these years to Mother. I remember getting to know them the best. We had Kriya down in Seattle. I think that was 1984, wasn't it? And well, that was the first time. But when you stayed at my house in Lake Forest Park.
And,
and I think we had 9 or 10 people staying at the house, and it was a full house. It was a lovely, lovely time, and it's just a wonderful time, as it always is. But got to know John and Diane better, and just down through the years, kept that connection, and I just feel such deep gratitude in my heart for all the service they've done for God and Guru down through the years. And also for Maureen for opening her home and becoming center leader now and holding this space. And I hope that you all feel drawn to be here and to come together. As Mother oftentimes pointed out, it's not just what we come to get, it's also what we come to give. That when we come together, as Jesus said, there is a principle where two or more are gathered, there I am. Gathered in that divine consciousness, there's a kind of synergy that takes over when we do it properly. And we feel an uplifting grace that's greater than just being on our own. And so it is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. And when you bring your light of God and you share it and add it with others, then that light begins to blaze out. And it changes not only your life, but the lives of those who are around you and your community. So I encourage you all to come together and have these times of meditation, focus upon divine consciousness, high conversation. Master used to say, high thinking and simple living. And just think if this world became dedicated, every person, upon responding to the very highest light that they know at any particular moment, what a tremendous change would come over this world. It would become a heaven on earth. Now, this may seem beyond the scope of what you can imagine, but it can be. And we can be the forerunners, the beginners of something new, something great, coming into this world. It's not always easy to be a pioneer. Sometimes you feel alone in that quest. But the time is coming. And for many, it has already come. But for that to spread all over this earth. And this is a way of helping that to happen. So thank you to these wonderful God people, John and Diane and Maureen. My heart just feels it's melting in gratitude. as with any really good gathering, there's always food. So we have we have a potluck plan, so I hope you will stay for that. We can just sit and feel the divine presence within your heart. And if it's in your heart, feel the echo of jubilation of the Divine Master riding into your heart. And that symbol of humility and peace. And that all the citizenry within your mind and within your consciousness are feeling the joy feeling the love, feeling the beauty.